blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time as we gather. We thank you, Lord, that you have set aside this day, the first day of the week, to remember the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior. For without resurrection, Lord, if He is not alive, then we are men most miserable to trust in something that's not real. But we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the revelation, for the faith that you have given to us, O Lord, by your grace. Hallelujah. That, Lord, we can see who we are. That we can understand who we are because you have given us this understanding. You have revealed to us who we are, Father. That we are children, your children, saved by grace, by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for your grace today again. We really thank you, Lord. We love you, Father. For all that you have done for us. And all the blessings and benefits you have granted us all these many years in our life. How true that is, Lord. For those who come to know the Lord and the Savior in the moment of their last breath, as compared to those of us, Father, whom you call and who have walked with you for these many years. Oh, Lord, it's really a privilege, oh Lord, that you have called us early. Some 50 years, some 60, 70 years, whatever the number, some 10, some 5. But Lord, you have called us in that time that we have. As we breathe every second, Lord, and as we walk with you in that every step of the breath that we take to know you, what a privilege, O Father. We can never thank you enough. So, Lord, here we are this morning. Bless us, O Lord, as your fruits of our word now. Give us an understanding, Father, for the hour that we live in. And that, Lord, we bind ourselves close to you, Lord. I pray that you bless everyone now. Those here, those on live streaming as well, and overseas, Father. Asking this in Christ Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Let's turn to some scripture here and begin off. A message to the book of Luke, chapter 13, verse 10. Luke chapter 13, verse 10 to 17. Let me say this, that when we come to fellowship, fellowship is not a right. You cannot say I have the right to fellowship. There is no right for you to fellowship. We gather here, we fellowship is because it's a privilege given to us. Not our rights. God had granted for us a time, a set place, that we can come and gather ourselves together and sit under His feet and learn from Him. If God do not open the door for you together, for us together, then there's no fellowship. You understand? Now, back then, in the after the Second World War, and then we have all this conflict among the nations up there in Europe. We had the Iron Curtain. Up there in China, you had the Bamboo Curtain. You know, and all this problem we have. And over in Indochina, we have all that purport and all that thing. Now, when you are a Christian in this kind of land, you find it very hard for you to gather. And in behind the Iron Curtain, back in those days of Stalin, Lenin, all that, there was a lot of hot stand against Christians. So Christian always, you know, had to fellowship some secret place. And their prayer about gathering is just also the same over in China, Vietnam. You know, the Lord gave them the wisdom whether they could come together and, you know, one by one sneak into a certain home, you know, a certain time when the authority or the, you know, police, they are always looking for what they call troublemaker or those who are religious. And it's a privilege for these people, for this believer, this Christian, that they're able to be blessed by God to go and seek to a certain place. They can gather one by one over a certain period of time. By the time they gather, it probably have been about 3-4 hours past, and then they will fellowship. And they will sing without opening they open their mouth and then probably whisper. They cannot sing loud. And then once it ends, one by one, it will sneak up. So they don't go out in groups, you know. Or maybe after 10 minutes, 5 minutes, or maybe half an hour, one by one sneak up. So it's a whole day event for them, just together, to fellowship. And really, it's a really privilege for God to give them that. And you cannot say they have the right to fellowship in countries like that, none at all. We thank God for what we have here. Alright, Luke chapter 13 verse 10. And Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loose from thy infirmity. And when he lifted his hand, when he laid his hand on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath. And the Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, do not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stock and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from his bond, loosed from this bond, on the Sabbath day. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. I want to pick up just one word here, and that's in verse 16. B-O-N-D, bond. The message is just titled bond. So, if I were to ask you, what is your bond? What would you be thinking about? It's just a word that sounds funny because there are all kinds of bonds. People who got a scholarship and then they go study and they got bond for 2-3 years, 5 years, whatever the case may be. And people are buying bonds for investment and for security. Right? So the word bond comes from the word by, bond, bound, and it also be bondage. But of course, when you say bondage, it sounds negative. Bond can be negative and it can be positive. Alright? So we are bound or bind, whatever the word. So just in the word bond, because it is in this verse here. So here we have now this story here on this record here was a woman. I don't know, the Bible did not say how old she was, but 18 years. And the infirmity that she bound together, that means to say that, you ever seen old folks, old woman, bend and be so? Oh, I mean, there are those, he walked like that, but there are those who bend completely 90 degrees. Have you ever seen that the person, when he bowed 90 degrees, can never see the sky? Do you know, nowhere can she see the sky? She cannot even
some way, this way forward, can never see the sky. The only way for her to see the sky is she got to go down, and her leg will be up, and her body will be lying on the ground. Then she will see the sky. Now, this kind of pain, it's suffering. It hurts. Now, there is one case in China. This man is called China's folding man. If you have seen that, you will be shocked at what you have seen. Healthy young man, until the age of, I think, 19 years old. Healthy young man, age of 19 years old, he started to fold. His chin touches his chest here. Then he starts to bend here. Bend until it's just impossible. It's just like some people who do gymnastics or, you know, those contortions. Until his face be touching his thigh. He's touching his thigh. Just imagine. The whole thing bent until he touches his thigh. And he cannot move, and there's only, I think, if I'm not mistaken, left 1.85 cm. 1.85 cm space between his nose and his thigh. He could not see anything, all he could see was his thigh. Oh my. What happened to it? Well, medical science said it is called ankylosing spondylitis. Ankylosis, it's your bone, your spine, everything started to degenerate and it started to bend and they fuse together. As it bends, it fuses together. And that's why I'm saying that those of you who are working on a computer in the office, don't fix your head. That's what I did. What happened back then? Until you know your forward, until so straight. Then you get pain. But I saw I was there being treated by a chiropractor, and I saw an Indian man before me while I was in my turn, and the doctor said, "Come, Richard, look at this." And the man was there, and there were two x-rays. Look at the first one, look at the second one. The first one is completely, you know, so forth, that the Indian man was going to turn like this. Whenever he got, he going to turn like this. But he hasn't fused yet, so he was able to pop it back, and then the Indian man was able to move. But he showed me another x-ray where the thing is completely fused, that the man can never turn his leg. He has to turn his whole body. So just imagine this woman here, 18 years suffering, bent like that. And I was thinking about a China man who had this problem. Oh my. For 25 years, at the age of 19, he suffered 25 years before operation was done on him. His mother took care of him for 25 years. And the mother was in her 70s. The love of the mother for the son. Seek, they were not rich. Seek to find somebody who could help. I mean, the doctor looked at cases and said, "How do you do it?" He went to the hospital, found a doctor who were able to help him. He went to the hospital and stayed in the hospital for 1 year. And they did all the surgery. I don't know how many surgery. And then now, of course, he could stand with the frame and walk. And then he could finally look at his mother. All the time he could only see his thigh. He could not see anything else. Wow. So, we are in a world like this today. The world is so corrupt. The world has come to the stage where, well, what is the title of the message Brother Brand once had? The world falling apart. I think there's a message that the world is falling apart. And we look at everything that is on in the newspaper, in the news every day that we hear. The war, the civil unrest, the climate changes. And with that, what do you have? I saw in the news that in the north, in Antarctica as well, Arctic,
their eyes are melting. And in one place, the one third of it have already melted away. In Iraq, the drought was so dry that the river Tigris completely, well, the water doesn't seem to flow anymore. It recedes and recedes until archaeologists surprisingly found an ancient civilization. When the water subsided, they found a city there. The pottery is there, and whatever they found there. So you just imagine the amount of water there has gone because of the drought. And that Sister Bree, regarding Kentucky, you saw the news about Kentucky under flooding in so many parts of America. It was so bad. I think 25 people died in that flooding too. And she said, no, my area is on the western side. But there were most of that disasters on the eastern side. And then you have quake recently in the Philippines. The earth is rocking and rolling. And we are coming to the stage that this whole thing is going to fall apart. And why this is so, you know, as the vision of Daniel about a stone that hit the mountain and brought it down. Yeah, this whole world is going to break apart. And then that stone that break it down, I think he's going to come up with a new kingdom in which we see Christ is going to set up a kingdom. A kingdom that the children of Israel were looking for. And by which time, of course, we will be with Christ and rule with Him. And I'm looking for it. Forward to that. And look at the pestilences. What do we have? One moment you have, well, years ago you have HIV, you have the Ebola, I was so scared. HIV was so scared when you went to America. But now what do you have? Monkeypox now in the news. Oh, the community was very upset because it's always linked to the gays, the homosexual. Huh? Well, that's how disease comes about. It's immorality. When people start to meddle with the things of God, like GMO food. Look at what we have in the Philippines, the GMO rice. I couldn't believe what I see when I went to the shop. They told me the kind of rice they have, the cheap rice. Huh? The GMO one, wow. Yeah, it's edible, but what nutrient is that? It's altered. And brother also told me that this kind of rice, you bite it after a few days, it starts to break up. It does not last because it's not natural. Huh. And look at how they produce us food today. But now, everything, people are trying to reverse it. Or we have the Greenpeace movement, and now we have those people who are, what do you call that? Those people who wanted to have green environment. What do you call that? Green environment people. Well, I know what. Green environmentalists, whatever. You know? No plastic. No? You know what I mean? Try not to use plastic and stuff like that. But with the COVID, everybody, most of us wear the surgical mask. And the surgical mask have a real problem. People don't want to use cloth masks. Because you're going to wash it nowadays. You use surgical mask, you might and you throw it away. So, what happened to the earth? The earth is dying. Human beings are born to their bad habits. To everything that is easy to go by. You know, take for example now, the population of the world is increasing. It can't sustain, actually. Because when most people normally wanted to flock to the city. When they flock to the city, they left all those farmland, you know, grow wild. And then people stop logging and everything and burn it.
Oh, they may grow crops. Yeah, we grow crops. But they are commercialized. They are not just ordinary farmers. They are company. They are trying to farm the land. So what did they do with the land? Of course, they put chemical on it, trying to do this, do that. And you know what I mean? So what we are eating today? But then there are those health nuts come up around and growing everything organic. Look at the fish in the sea. They're all dying out. Yeah, the brother in Fiji told me, finding that they used to get a lot of fish, very easy to get fish. But now they're dying out. So this world that we are living is in this situation. I'll ask you this question. In this world, what are the bonds that tie you down? Things that hold you in bondage. This woman in the scripture here, Satan put her in bond to these infirmities. She was so bent, bowed together. Then I heard, she probably did not see the sun every day. While she walked, or while she sit. Because when you sit down, you know, you just bend your knees, and you're still looking down. You can never look up. So what is, during this life of yours, in this world, what are the things that tie you down? What are the things that put you in bond? I use the word bond. Don't think that it's just necessarily bondage. Yeah, it could be bondage to something bad. It could be a bond to something that is good. If we were to ask the Lord Jesus, what is your bond? What would the Lord Jesus say? What is your bond, Lord? What do you think Jesus would say? Very simple. Just a few words. My word is my bond. My word is my bond. For he is the word of God. And whatsoever he said it, he is tied to it. Right? God is bound to his own word. So what is our bond? What do we have? Let's go to Psalms 116. The Psalms for deliverance from death. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication. Because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. The sorrow of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. And I believe that many of us are in this situation. But some of you are young, you know, it's still okay if you don't feel it. Huh? Reading this, I can relate to it. I can relate to what Paul went through. And when Paul read this, Paul would not understand. And also with this woman in the scripture when Jesus touched her. Verse 4. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our Lord is merciful. The Lord preserved the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from fears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore, have I spoken? I was greatly afflicted. I say in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefit towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord.
Now in the presence of his people, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his sins. O Lord, truly, I am thy servant. I am thy servant, and the son of thy handmaid. Thou shalt loose my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord, now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Yeah, that's what it should be when we make a vow. Remember, keep your word. Many times we told the Lord this and that, but we never keep our word. Or even to a brother or to a sister. Remember, my word is my bond. I believe if Joshua would say that, what is your bond? If you ask him, my word is my bond. I keep it. I'm tied to it. The word and me, we are just one. You don't separate God from his word. You cannot separate your word from you, yourself. And here's this, Sammy was saying all that. Right? We'll have the pain, he said, there's the suffering. We cry unto the Lord, deliver me. I keep my vow, I do this, I'll do that. Keep it. Set me free from my bonds. The question I asked earlier on, what are the bonds that tie you down? Now this message I preached one time back in the 1980s. My children were then just in school. They were in schools. Some of you were not here. But back then, in the 80s, you know, we started ministry in the 70s and the 80s, about maybe 10 years or so, and there were already all kinds of, you know, manifestations among the brothers and the sisters. So my question is, are you in bondage to maybe your hobbies? Hey, what do we have, young people? Computer games. Oh, yeah. Man, are you in bondage to it? That you must have your fix. You know what I mean, your fix? If you don't have it, you cannot sleep. You're agitated. Son, time to eat your dinner. Ah, don't disturb me. I'm going to kill this fella. You know, you get so tied to it. What about, are you in bondage to, not that your home, what about bondage to your job? So much so you don't have a time for your children. Time to, you know, have a little family life. Also, what about friends? Are you in bondage to friends? It's so important. No, I must go and see that person, my friend. I need to go. It's a girlfriend, a boyfriend, or maybe some special friend. Just anybody. You're so tied to it. A lot of people don't consider that. Are you tied? Are you in bondage? Not just to a hobby or job or friend, but are you in bondage to your wife, to your husband, to your children? Think. But that sometimes is for good, sometimes for bad. Now I told you about the China folding man. At the age of 19, the man started to fall and suffer for 25 years. And the mother, God, that's the son, my son.
So she looked after him all those years. He's 19, 25 years. How old is she then? 40, 44 years old. How old is the mother? Mother, she's already said she's 71, I believe. Already old. For all those years looking after him. Think that's mother's love. She was in bondage to his suffering. That we understand, right? But just think, if you are in bondage to a spouse, husband or wife or children or father, mother, in the wrong way, and something is very bad. What do I mean by that? Father spoil the children. Oh yeah, no? I've seen that. Right? I hope you are not spoiled. Father gives the son every year. You pass the exam, good mark, you get a new phone. Get the latest phone. Yes? So what happened to the old phone? A year old. In America, all those superstars, whether they be actress or actors, or whether they be football, basketball, you know, all those great superstar personalities, do you know how many of them spoil their children? And they are just teenagers, buy them a car. Not just a simple car. Huh? Big, expensive car. And they get themselves into trouble. So what are you in bondage to? I must say one time I was so in bondage to my ministry. That I would do from morning to night. Morning to night. That I became a problem with my wife. You know? Because I just want to continue to finish my work and time to eat is the problem. Yes? Drifting away from fellowship. Well, now we have some brothers and sisters who are no longer with us. They have drifted away. That's kind of make you wonder what causes that. And many of them do not want to talk. They don't want to. Oh yeah, there were times that back then, I remember back then in the 80s, some of them, they would sit council, they call me up to talk. Family situation, huh? How to deal with it, even when I was in India with one case, man. Father don't like it. Because the children spoke about it. The father don't like it. He felt that what we call, Chinese call lao kui. What is that? Loose face. So turn around and said all kinds of things. But then of course I told someone, well, you know what? Counsel, people can ask me for counseling. But they already make up their mind. They already in bondage to what they already, the decision that they want. So they seek counsel, but they want me to say yes to their view, to what they already make up, what they already have a fixed desire to do. They only want my approval. So in discussion, you know, I told them this, told this person. And he argued back. Then after that, he got angry. Okay. No, that's very rude.
Now, it don't happen in once, several times, different ones. You see, you may have your own opinion, you want a counsel. But don't get me to go along with your opinion. That's not counseling. You want to believe this way, I want to tell you that's wrong, this is the way to go. But in the end, it's your choice. Don't get upset with me and say, okay. This one happened over in other countries, India and the Philippines too. Okay. You know how the Philippines say, okay. You know, they have a certain kind of tone, accent. Yeah. I understand. I don't understand these things. Counseling is just something that you want to have some kind of understanding. How to deal with a certain situation. Huh? And don't ask me to counsel to get me to side with you against your wife or against your husband or against your father or mother. Man, that's moving. Or against a brother or sister. It's very common too. Yes. So, intruders. When we are born to something, it's either we intrude into something or something intrude into us. Because the bone, there are two sides, how they come together. You know, back then, it was in the 70s, after I married. My mom, you know, my sister, she left Singapore to do nursing. And Brother Henry also went over to some European country and whatever. Me being the elder one, I'm most of the time with my mother. Oh, my mother gave me a hard time. You know, she said things that can be very irritating. And in that way, that irritation intrudes into me. And I get irritated as well. And so when she talked like that, I didn't realize how bad it was that I was talking just like, huh? And my wife saw it. And said, you shouldn't be talking to mom like that. And that was when the Holy Spirit convicted me. I don't know how many of you remember, some sister, I'm not sure whether you do. Because when my mom came to our fellowship, after she realized, you know, when I shared with her, because of her cousin, you probably know him, a well-known preacher in Singapore, in the Presbyterian Church, Philip Him, whom I once worked with as well, with the for, you know, minister to the young people in the school. My mom met him in the funeral wake of his brother who passed away. And my mom came back and told me, he said, you know, I had a talk with Philip. And I told him, you know, you are in the ministry. He said, mom, I worked with him before, you know, in school days. He said, huh. Then I said, do you know what your cousin believed? She being a pastor, a pastor, do you know what he believed? Do you know he knows certain truth about the scripture, but he does not want to obey? He said, huh? Is it so? I said, yes. Because back then, under Brother Lincoln's time, when Lincoln became a Christian, he was attending the Presbyterian Church. So, you know, I talked to Brother Lincoln and about water baptism. And so he said, oh yeah. Then he asked Philip Hinn. Because they are Trinitarian. And the Holy Ghost say, you know, my family won't want to get baptized in Jesus' name. So, you know, our church, I don't know whether we can, I have to ask the board. You know, we have the board. You know what I mean by that? Not the blackboard, the board. And so, what happened? He came back and he told Lingam, says, you know, I cannot baptize you in Jesus' name because that is contradictory to our constitution. You see that? Just as plain as that. So I told my mom what happened. I said, really? Yeah, give her some of my, you know, tracts and things to read. She came to a fellowship and then she wanted to get baptized. So I told her, I said, Mom, before you want to get baptized, I understand. If you really want to follow Jesus Christ all the way, the Bible way, all right? It's better to do it all the way rather than half-half. And I told her, I said, you need to keep your hair long. I said, you need to remove all your earrings. Because that's what the Bible tells us, that we should be modest. Wow, she got upset. When she was in Sunday fellowship, after the meeting was over, she couldn't tell to so many sisters. Tell the sisters, brother, come on, you take the hearing out. And the sister came and told me that. She said, really? Yeah. She said, Mom was so upset. Said, okay. I went back and told my mom, I said, Mom, I already told you this. I didn't tell you to take it off. I tell you, the Bible tells you to remove these things. To dress properly, you know. After that, a few days later, I said, oh, okay. He took it off and gave it to me. Yep. Sometime when people are in bondage, I mean, in Asia, look in India. Practically in India, almost every Indian must have a earring or a nose ring, right? Or something, some gold on their body. Right? That is very true. But Indians have no problem with the long hair. But over here, you know what I was told in Singapore? I think, I don't remember, it was my mom, but somebody said that, so, oh, you mean the woman you believe must have long hair? Look like Indian, you know. What is wrong with you, like Indian? You see, when you are in bondage to a certain culture, a certain tradition, that's what I'm asking, what are you in bondage to? You know, what is your bond? What is, whatever the thing is that bound you, you're bind to it, or in bondage to it. I think when you talk about the word bond, we are more in bondage to many things than in good things. Many bad things than in good things. You agree with that? Satan had many of us bind up with this. That's one of the things here. When the technology comes up, here on the technology, you know. Fantastic things. You remember when technology comes with the phone and the last, what we had in those days was you know what I mean? You have to wait until the whole thing circle all the way back. Put it on, circle all the way back, right? Sometimes we put our finger there, we start to force it back quickly. You ever do that? Yeah. We just cannot wait for it to go back. We just put it up, quickly, we won't go back first. But then comes the one, the big phone, huge one. Oh, after a while comes the pager. People buy pager. I remember Brother Christopher Tay. He came and he went around with the pager, you know. Leather pops right. It's a pager dinner. People are slave to it. Somebody called. Did you? Okay. Go and find a payphone. Huh. Then comes the handphone. Wow. Oh, back then, handphone, there's no. It's not a smartphone, it's just phone. Every year, technology, people are slave to it. But now we have what? Super speed computers, playing games, playing this, playing. Now what do we have in Singapore? The drones. Flying the drones. Wow. There are hobbies on this.
But that's okay for you to have hobbies. But don't be born into something that this thing takes away from us. We get drifted away from God. Peer pressure, friends, that we need to go out with, play games. We have no time for God. Many times I just wonder, we are, when this last day. You know, As I tell you this, I came to know Christ before the age of 12. When you tell about 2 years and backslid for 2 years. And then what? The Lord called me back. My love was completely changed. The whole Bible becomes something that I need to digest. Spend time studying. Practically, come back from work, I study. And I don't regret that. And I want you to know this, that we are, especially in this hour that we're living in. I'm just looking for the next 2 years to see what happens. Because President Biden sees any time he might just collapse. And what's going to happen to the Democrats? What a mess there. And then President Trump. Is Trump coming back? They say, yeah, he's coming back. And they're afraid of him too. This guy is one moment say this, one moment say that. Not stable. Something is going on in America. Everything is just really bad. The system down there is just so bad now. Think about it. And they wanted to control the world. Pelosi wanted to go to Taiwan. What is all this? Why is this thing going on? Because Satan has put these people in bondage. Huh? He put this controlling spirit, this bond, upon the spirit of America. I'm telling you, I was telling my sister about it. It's a spirit that is there. So when we talk about the king of north of Israel, Gog and Magog, we're not just talking about Russia. We're not talking about the Soviet. Because there's an ally. Huh? Gog, the land of Magog. Gog. Anti-Gog. Anti-Gog. A spirit of a fight against God's people, against God's word. In the land of Magog. The word Magog means land of people who are anti-God, anti-word. Who alive with Russia? Iran, Persia, the Bible mentioned Libya, right? They did not mention that? Huh? And many others that are just Islamic extremists, some of them. But not just the people, but we're talking about the spirit. You know, remember that this Archangel Michael, they wanted to calm down and reveal something to Danny. He said that he was waylaid by what? By the Prince of Persia. You remember? So what is the Prince of Persia? Principality. Because in this world, every nation, there are spirits. There are demonic power. Archangel, fallen archangel, angel that control a certain area. Yes. And there are principality. There are those who are the spirit working. The other day, or two weeks ago, I think, I went on to town and to get something. I was in People's Park, the complex of Plaza, I can't remember now, just across Chinatown Point. And I was walking there, then I walked behind. You see, usually the shop that face the escalator, there are more people, right? Hardly people go behind, you know. So I decided to walk behind, and there was this shop that put up banner, not maybe banner, what we call mural, what, picture, photograph, and text, big ones. And I was taken aback for what they did. They were selling at a shop that sells amulets. You know, amulet. And here was this picture there with text, English text and Chinese text. And it was a picture of a young man, I mean, in his 20s or something. And he put his name there. I so and so want to testify, want to tell you what happened. And I read, oh my. He was telling about his life, how that he was haunted by demonic spirit, the shadow that comes and, you know. And then he said, I want to thank my Savior, this so-and-so master, you know, who prayed for him and gave him the amulet. And the amulet, what wonder! And the demon's gone. And then the other testimony, said, wow. He said, you see, a lot of people do not know the power of darkness. There are people that have been haunted. I told you this before. My wife, Sister Tracy, when she told me about her life when she was young, living in a Bukit Timah area. So sometimes she looked at the mirror and she see a chicken running across behind the mirror. And she turned around, there was no chicken. You know? She sees another thing, a good running, and well, at that time they were not Christian, the family were not Christian. There were all kinds of things that would happen. Yes, I don't know how many of you ever have that kind of experience. Yes. So people are in bondage many times. This woman in the scripture where Jesus Christ touched her, this woman that was bound up, what had she done that she got this affliction? The Bible tells, it's just one of those things that happen in human life. It can happen to any one of us. But the China man, normal, until 19 years old, he started to beg. Why? Something happened in the gym, something that just started to trigger off, and the whole body bang folded out. He folded threefold. The chin to the chest and what to the abdomen here, bent over and his face touching the thigh. Anything can happen to us, and Satan will do all these things because he is the God of this evil world. And that's why it's very important for us to be born to the Word of God. Right? Our bond must be with the Word of God. Right? So, we get things intruded into our life, or get people intruding into our life that cause us to put us in some kind of bondage that affects us. Or we ourselves could be the intruder against somebody. You know what I mean? We could be the intruder to somebody. That means what we call in Malay, chocho. You know what I mean? We are the one, the company that pushes somebody to do certain things that shouldn't be. Instead of encouraging, we are discouraging. What about Judas Iscariot? What was Judas Iscariot in bondage to? The money bag? Oh yeah, maybe the money bag. But if you read the history, you know he was one of those rebels. And Jesus chose him. And he called him the son of perdition. See? I remember when it came about Judas Iscariot, the Bible Jesus said, "Did I not choose you 12 and one of you, son of perdition?" Yeah, and he said, when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said to the Father, "I pray for everyone except the son of perdition." Back in the 70s, the early 80s, when our books went out, I got a letter from a sister in Trinidad. She was confused. She wrote me and said, "Veronica, I'm very confused. Because, you know, when you she goes to a church where you get all kinds of preachers invited, in end time message. So she said, did this preacher say that Judas Iscariot, where is Judas Iscariot today? Where is he? If you tell me that he's in heaven, I think you better go and read the Bible again." And she said, "This preacher said that Judas Iscariot is in the pyramid. You know the pyramid where Abraham drew? Is in the level of our brotherly kindness." What? You know the pyramid of Abraham, that the virtue? The highest is brotherly kindness, then come the capstone, which is agape. Remember. She said that this preacher said Judas Iscariot was in the brotherly kindness. And he's a child of God, a son of God. Oh my. And she said, how can it be when the Bible said Jesus Christ said he's the son of the of perdition, and this preacher said he's a son of God? Now, that's what we have. We have preachers that do not know what they are preaching. In India, Africa, the Philippines. And we are talking about the last time about the tithes. We don't believe in tithes. And there are those that still perhaps believe, I know someone that believe, that the earth is flat. The earth is flat. It's like a coin, a plate. Think about it. And it's so short. All this conspiratory theory that these people come up with, that the man did not land on the moon. I mean, this is the thing for the world. But let us use common sense. As I said many times, use a little common sense. The Bible is clear. Judas was a son of perdition. Don't tell me that he became a god. And this is one of the believers told me many years ago. He told me, he said, "Brother Ken, everything, every human being, just like my friend Paul, believed the same thing. But after that, he did not believe. But I had people end up and said, believe the same thing. And insist that everyone, every living thing will come back. Because the Bible said in the book of Acts that Jesus Christ must be in heaven until the restitution of all things. Until the restoration of all things." Restoration, restitute, think like everything. That's why Judas Iscariot must be restored back. All those bad things, all be restored back. All will come back to life. I said, how do you do that? I said, regeneration, it takes time. God will regenerate and come back. God, there is life. You wonder where these people get this kind of understanding, because of the kind of spirit that they are tied to. They are bonded to something. What is that something? Pride. Opinion. Ideas. Wanting to be somebody that they are not. That's why I asked my friend, everything will be restored back? He said, yes. Every living thing. Okay. All the pigs that you eat, all the chicken that you eat, you all come back. All the cockroaches that you kill, come back. Oh, there might be a whole lot of them all over the world now. All coming back. Wow. You think about that. Sorry. What about James and John in the Bible? Let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 10. Verse 35 to 41. And James and John, the son of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, "Master, we would that you should do for us whatsoever we shall desire." And he said unto them, "What would you that I do for you?" They said unto him, "Grant unto us that we may sit one on your right and the other on your left hand in thy glory." But Jesus said to them, you know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with of, shall you be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the ten heard of it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. Think about it, huh? Okay, let's go. Okay, this is what Mark said, but let's go and look at Matthew, chapter 10, verse 20. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. Here, Matthew records something else. This is the same incident, only one time. But here, Matthew adds some more information. And then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her son, worshipping him and desire a certain thing. And Jesus said unto her, what would thou? She said unto him, grant that these two sons of mine be seated, one on your right and the other on the left in thy kingdom. So here we have extra information that the mother was there. So you see the bondage between the mother and the children. Oh, wow! It's not that just James and John approach Jesus Christ. No, I'm going to ask you what we desire you grant to us. Just say, what do you want? They ask. When they ask him to be seated on left and right, each one of them, Jesus said, that's not mine to give. That's bonus to our Jesus Christ for them. I've got to tell you, disciples, we're not happy with that. But here in Matthew, it says, the mother was there. So the mother must have been there with them. Huh? Giving them some support. I mean, Jesus knew the mother. Huh? You see, who was the intruder, the instigator of this? My two sons, James, John. One sitting on the right, one sitting on the left. See, the bond between the children and the mother plays a part too. That it influences. You know, still, some of you are still single. Back then, when he was in the early 70s, like in the 80s, the only couple of us were married. I don't think Brother Paul was married then, were you? Were you married then? No. When were you married? You forgot? Any idea what 90s, right? Or is it late 80s? 90s, yeah. So, but then you know we have 1985. Oh, okay. Okay, just newly married now. Okay. But then there were those who are. That's all right. Well, we may forget. You see, by the 70s, when we started our ministry, there were hardly any men married. Then, only after middle of the 70s that people, some of us got married. So in the early 80s, they're still not single. So, you know, when we are single, when I was single, you know, I never thought of getting married. Alright? I just put everything to the hand of the Lord. So I was doing my work. So, being single, you got more time dealing with. But as the Bible says, when you're married, you're attached to your wife, your family, your children, right? That's true, isn't it? That's how Paul refused to get married after he became a widow. You see? Alright, so that's marriage life. So we are born to our family, our children. That is alright. But the thing is that here we are today. We are believers of the Word of God. Between believers and disciples, I want to ask you, are you a disciple of Christ? Are you a disciple of Christ, or are you just a believer? Believer is just one who says, I believe, and you just learn the Word of God and just say, okay, this is what it is. Discipleship are the active believers. They are not just a hearer of the word.
they are doers of the word. And I want to thank God in the first place that some of you brothers really step up. Hey, my brother Joshua, come up here and lead song. You know? And then the sharing on Friday. Now, I could not attend on Friday because I get tired of that. I used to go to bed now around 9 o'clock, something I feel very tired because I slept only about 3-4 hours the whole night. I get to 9 o'clock, try to go to bed, and I would get up around 7:30 like that, and between all this long period of 9-10 hours, I only slept about 4 hours because of a lot of burning sensation in my leg. Practically every day I slept about 4 hours at the most. You know, so I'm very happy that your brothers step up to share and encourage one another in fellowship. It is time for us to really fellowship more because of the hour that we're living. Of course, in their time, email comes in, chatting and so on. And, you know, I send you a WhatsApp text from Sister Isabel from Canada. Now you can see what it is like. You know how that when you see she was in that fellowship. I could not believe it that it has come to become such a bad place. And I remember when I was in California, I was invited to preach. And Brother David Rajan asked me to go and preach in that church when he was at that time attending. So I went there to preach. And I know that they believe in the return ministry of Brother Branham. And I know that when I was in Kinshasa in Congo, they had the same thing. I preached there, and after I left the pulpit, somebody go out there and start to go against the message I preached. And I started to lift up Brother Branham, lift up Brother Branham. And there was one time when I was in Malawi. You know, I was invited by this minister who heard about me, invited me to the church. I preached there. When I went up there, I only spoke for 15 minutes. The preacher came out, the pastor came out, and said, "Brother, you may go." And what did he do? Lift up Brother Branham. Lift up Brother Branham. Lift up Brother Branham! Oh my! Can you not understand? You cannot put the servant above his master. And they are doing that. And what did Brother Branham himself said? If you ever put me up before Christ or call me Christ or, you know, things like that, that I'm Christ or whatever you put me above, you mean me anti-Christ. I'm just a brother. And the gift, Marvin said, had nothing to do with the gift. It was given to me. He didn't ask for it. Not like Brother Peter Osborne, who saw what Brother Ben can do. He went to his cross. I don't know how long he was in the cross. He told his wife, "Daisy, don't open that room." He was there for how many days? And he was asking for one thing from God, the gift of faith, to perform what he saw Brother Ben did. He asked for it, and God gave it to him. Brother Ben didn't ask for it. It was entrusted upon him. You know what I mean? So he became born to that gift and to manifest it. Like Jesus, he said, "I, the Son of Man, can do nothing until I saw what the Father did. What the Father did, I do it likewise." I remember another time, we talked about bondage. I told you about this German preacher. Yeah, he wasn't born to his to try to justify his action of fornication. It was all right. It was a little affair, he said. Until his wife exposed him. And he tried to justify it by using the books of Brother Branham. I couldn't believe a man who always got to the pulpit with the Scofield Bible. And then when he tried to prove to me, I said, "Show it to me. That what you did was not wrong." I told you there was a brother who I think he's in Australia now. What's wrong? Brought me to see him. Sitting next to him. He took up, not the Bible, he took up a marriage and divorce book of Brother Branham. Brother Branham, you believe the Brother Branham was a prophet? Yes. Do you believe that what he teaches is true? I said, of course, according to the scripture. You flip the pages and all of that thing, you can see all the highlighters in different colors. Do you know what Brother Branham said? The first covenant, one man, one wife. I said, yes. That was before the fall. See, Brother Branham said that. He showed me the... I said, yes. Then, turn. I said, Brother Branham, see what Brother Branham said. After the fall, God introduced a second covenant. One man, many wives. One bull, many cows. I said, yes. He said, now we are in the second covenant. We are in the second covenant. The very same thing that was spoken by an honored minister, whom the same brother called me up to see him in the hotel room. Remember I told you? My. These people are informed to the courts of Brother Branham. I'm saying that right here for those who happen to chance upon this video and see me speak about it. Let me tell you this, I'm not against Brother Branham. How can I be against Brother Branham? You're a lot of liars out there. Brother Branham is speaking against Brother Branham. No, sir. I'm speaking against you. Because you do not know what Brother Branham said. You just simply take it out of context. That's what. That's what happened. When a person in bondage to those quotes, they don't see anything else. They don't see the scriptures. And they're putting other people in bondage. Talking to Brother and I just a few days ago, he called me up. And he told me that they had just a meeting, some meetings that just passed by, and there was a man from, I think he said from DRC, French. No, not French, somebody else. There was another brother in Uganda who was talking to me about a brother from Congo who speaks French, who wanted to know some doctrine, so he introduced my book to him. But Bernard was telling me that this man, when he was talking to him, mentioning about me, the preacher said, "Oh, you know what? He believed that Jesus Christ is his elder brother." No, that's wrong. I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord, my Savior. Is it true that he believed that Jesus Christ is his elder brother? When I asked him, "Have you read the book?" "No, somebody told me that." "Have you read his book?" You see? First of all, how many of you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord? Come on. He is your master. Amen. Yes, he is your Savior. Amen. He's your healer. Amen. Is he your brother? The Bible said that. Go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. I didn't say that. Paul said that. If I said it, you can say I'm wrong. But when Paul said that, you cannot say Paul is wrong. Because that is scripture written down by the inspiration of God. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11 to 12. "For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to be called, to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name among unto my brethren. In the midst of the church where I sing praise unto thee." Who is that talking about? Who is that talking about? Who is Paul talking about? Come on! Our Lord Jesus! He's not talking about the devil.
He's not talking even of Judas Iscariot. He that we sanctify, he said what? He that sanctify and those that are sanctified. Christ is, oh, what do you say? Beloved. He that sanctify and they who are sanctified. He the one who sanctify us is a sanctifier. We are the sanctified. The one. He didn't call us brethren. Okay, go to the book of Romans 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among us, brother. Nice. I said, time to read the Bible. You have not heard of these verses? Huh? You call, if you have a person call himself preacher, he doesn't know this verse, he knows nothing. You know? Jesus has many attributes. The Bible in Corinthians, where Paul said, after he had put down the last enemy, death is put down. Christ will give back all the authority back to the Father, right? And he will be subjected to the Father. So what position will he take? He will take his position with us as the firstborn, as the eldest of everyone. He's my oldest brother because he was the firstborn. He's the firstborn. But he's still my Lord. He's still my Savior. Right? What is it so difficult to say? People hear somebody say something about Brother Grant said this and that. There's a man of brother nice face this issue. When the book is handed out, you know, the book, our books are printed there, and we keep it out. You say, oh, this one, so say. Brother Nice, I said, have you read the book? Don't read what people say, because many people twist my word. Like they did with Brother Branham, like they did with Paul, like they did with King David, like they did with the Bible, the Word of God. They twist the gospel. When people do not want, when you try to tell them that they misunderstood what I say, they don't care. Alright? So now, yeah, I want to put this up to show you. It was supposed to be a part of question and answer in the last few weeks. But I just want to show you this. So that you look at it. Remember I told you that there was this Nigerian preacher whom he associated with me for many years, and then he gets too big. And he wrote a book about the Godhead and make a mess of it. Huh? And when I try to help him, he pushed it aside, brought it aside. So that's Nigeria. And this brother also is in Nigeria. And he wrote also a book on the Godhead. And he sent it to me. So I read it. It's a PDF file. So I read it. He wrote it much better than that other minister. And I find two places. And these are the two places that he wrote that I need to make a comment. I want him to understand. So when I help him understand, he was very grateful. Say, yes, Brother God, now I understand. I will have to correct you. That's a humble brother. Someone who knows something to be. When you show this an error, yes, I'm sorry, that's an error. Correct. I will change it. But not the other one. No, Brother God, it's okay. It's my book. People are blessed by it. I wonder. The Trinitarian preaching all the Trinitarian doctrine, the people out there say they are blessed by the Trinitarian doctrine, right? So look at this. This is too plenty. It must never be viewed or reasoned that Jesus Christ is the Son of God biologically. To have this thought or belief is not just only anti-scripture, it is also heretic. That's point number one. Number two, that God is a spirit. This is the verse he quoted, John 4:14. And he has no similitude. He quoted Deuteronomy 4:12-19. Now, when you look at this, do you see the error in this? Try to explain the Godhead. These are only two that I found out when I read through. I said these are only two places. They need to be corrected. Okay,
Let me give you the answer I wrote to him. Alright, see the first one here, he said, it must never be viewed or reasoned that Jesus Christ is the Son of God biologically. So I rewarded for him. It must never be viewed or reasoned that Jesus Christ is the Son of God biologically tied to Mary. To have this thought or belief is not just only anti-scripture, it is also heretic. Like Adam, Jesus Christ is a new creation by the spoken word of God. He is the very monogene of God. You see the word biologically? When he wrote what he wrote above, it must never be viewed or reasoned that Jesus Christ is the Son of God biologically has no meaning. Biologically, one meaning, but biologically. So, I said, you are thinking of that he was not, Jesus Christ was not from the seed or egg of Mary, right? So therefore, you've got to put it biologically tied to Mary. To think so is heretic. It's anti-scripture. You get it? Okay, see the second part, the second one. That God is a spirit. He quote this, and then in the same sentence, he has no similarity by quoting Deuteronomy. And that's a mess. So I told him that God is a spirit. He is not a man. They quote Numbers 23:19. That is, he is not flesh, but a spirit. God is not a disembodied spirit like a puff or vapor or smoke that has no form. Consider Genesis 1:27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. I said, you think about this. When you put God is a spirit, of course, we know that. But to take a verse out of Deuteronomy and say he has no similitude, that's wrong. Because in that passage, in Deuteronomy, has nothing to do with what they are trying to describe. I heard a voice some from the corner of the room. But I don't see God. There's no similitude. You know what I mean? That's different. When Brother Abraham heard the voice of God speaking out from the whirlwind, a little whirlwind that in the poplar tree, you can see the leaf rusting and all that. But you think the whirlwind has a shape like exactly the barrel? It's just pulling around, you know, moving. That's the voice of God speaking from there. Of course, there's no similitude. The whirlwind is not God. But God is in the whirlwind. You understand what I'm saying? God is not in the fire. God is not the fire. I mean, he's in the fire. So I say you need to understand. Similitude. Of course, there's no similitude. God, in that voice, when what you read in Deuteronomy, was saying that you don't, the person did not see God in any form. Any similitude of anything. But consider Genesis 1:27. Let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. God is not a vapor or smoke. God has a form. He is spirit, but he has a form. He is not flesh, but he has a form. Right? The angel that comes in, if the angel do not appear like this physically, now what do you see of him? You may see him as transparent. Right? You can see him like a spirit standing here. You can look through the wall. But yet, you can see his feature. The eyes, the nose, the mouth. Let me ask a simple question I ask. Does God have eyes? Does God have mouth? Does God have hand? No, he's a spirit. What is a spirit then? A smoke? Or like a cloud at them? Moving around? God has a form. Let us create man in our own image after our likeness. What? The angel will create in the likeness of God. What does an angel look like? A dragon? With wings? With tails? Come on! People are bound to importance to ideas that they are not scripture, they don't see. That's where the problem is. But this brother, at least, really needed to understand and see it.
Okay, let's quickly finish our line. John 5:22.
Well, never mind, we don't read that because it's too long. But John 5:22-69. You know, time for us to keep learning. Because the squeeze is coming. But in fact now we are being squeezed. You know, the disciples, they were learning all the time. But one day when Jesus had told Peter, "You will deny me 3 times. "Oh, no, I will not deny you." Right? Remember how? You know, he was so sure. But when the squeeze came, what happened? Well, Jesus was arrested, trial, and he was among some folks in the evening time. "Hey, you are with the man." "Oh, no. One time, Peter might be thinking, "Oh, yeah. One time, yeah, Jesus said 3 times. No, I don't think I'm going to deny him 3 times. That's the first time, right?" Walk down a little bit to another place. "You are one of them." No. You know how the reaction is? When the squeeze comes, they are learning all those years with Christ. But yet, they are not being tested. I saw when Bob and when one time when I read them, I can't remember which sermon was that. Bob and said, "Now is testing time by sin." Oh yeah. Peter sinned. He denied the Lord. I didn't know him. He was so sure. "You are sure about your faith. But when time comes, the squeeze comes, would you deny him? Well, let's go through this. 3 verses of scripture. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 to verse 11. So when we have this trial that's coming, I mean, I don't know about you folks, what are you going to face? The world is such a mess, they say that the prices of things will rise up, will keep on rising, inflation. Yeah, of course. Put the blame on Putin. That's what everybody wants it to know. Put the blame on Putin for the war. That's what the world wants you to know. Putin is the blame. He's to be blamed. But the fact is, he wasn't to be blamed. Whole world has been deceived by that beast. The Bible already told us about it. Yet people don't see it. Many Christians still do not understand the Revelation book. We are in that hour where the beast is so powerful. Because when we talk about that beast that rises up from the land, and then the beast that rises up from the sea, they're very connected. They're very, very connected. And what we are saying today, that's true. Deceive the whole world with the power. America is the only country, that can bring about the one world order. We have the means to do it. Surely, of course. There is no army so powerful than the one that we have. Boast. America is doomed. And yet they boast so much. That spirit, I'm not talking about a man. I'm talking about the spirit of that nation. I'm talking about a demonic spirit. Do you understand? There's behind. Now we have all this thing that's going on in America that they cannot control. They have this COVID problem now. A lot of them die of COVID because they don't have proper health care. Now you have the monkeypox, people are upset. And now what is another kind of a disease came up? Do you know that? It's from the soil. Melioidosis, if I remember that's the spelling. Now the America cannot blame it on Russia. They can blame their COVID on China. Huh? This melioidosis is from the soil. And they are found in three places. I can't remember what are the states now. It gets to the brain. And you go bonkers. There's no surfacing in the soil. America is being judged. What other disease is going to come out? I don't know. So we've got to be watchful. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my priest, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. I think that Paul the apostle is talking a little bit, I don't know whether he's okay. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessity, in persecution, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. That makes a good point. I have become a fool in glory. He gloried in being, in all this problem. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended by you, for in nothing am I behind the chiefest apostle, though I have been nothing. Paul said, to the Corinthians, you should be pleased with me. Pray for me. You have compelled me. I ought to have been commended by you. You should appreciate me. That's what Paul is saying, because I'm not far from those other apostles. Paul suffered a lot. But one thing for sure, he's born, what he said, a born servant of Christ. I'm a prisoner of Christ. Huh? For your sake. Because he is tied to it. So let us all be born to the Word of God. There's a whole fast to it as the day approaches. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your Word of truth. Teach us and guide us, Father, in all things. In this life, Father. And as you teach us, Lord, may we hold fast to it and walk in the light of it and be pleasing unto thy sight, Father. And when the time comes, Father, whatever it may be, let your grace, O Lord, be sufficient for each and every one of us as we walk this journey until we see Christ face to face. Father, I thank you. Bless all now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.